Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jeremy, before we get our next guest on, what do you remember about Brian Mattis?
I mean, look, I always thought he was a very nice guy. I remember he was the first Oriole that I saw out and about a few times. And if you went up to him and approached him, super nice. Like, I had a lot of people here that I worked with that were closer to the Orioles working in the clubhouse that would just speak highly of him. And from the sounds of it, you know, he had what a lot of people have, an addiction problem.
Some demons, yeah.
Yeah, so whatever that may be, like whatever you might be addicted to, good thing I never got addicted to gambling. 20 years doing this, 25 years doing it, never got addicted. No, but in all seriousness, like, a failed starter, right?
Right.
But when he came in, the thing I always remember about him, he was Big Poppy's Poppy.
Not only Big Poppy's Poppy, Josh Hamilton's Poppy as well. Remember
yes,
that?
But I don't care about Josh Hamilton. Big Poppy, you some bitch. You cheating some bitch. You need to pay for that phone.
Joining us right now from the Baltimore Banner, Danielle Allen Tuck, courtesy of the Window Nation's Guest Hotline. What's up, Danielle?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. No, what was your motivation, first of all, behind doing this article?
Yeah, so this is a story that we have been working on for months. I covered his death originally, which was January 6th. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do, after writing the initial news story about it, I wanted to talk with his teammates and his friends and be able to learn more about him, to be able to cover him better and write a story. And in doing so, things just kind of kept unraveling a little bit. And it was his teammates and former manager who first alerted us to, you know, the fact that Ryan was not happy at the end of his career. He always saw himself as a starter. And the fact that he was in a bullpen, he never showed it on the field or in the clubhouse. You know, he was a great teammate, a great colleague. But it was just the fact that, you know, it kind of felt like his whole life had gone downhill from there. And he turned to addiction and he had allegations of domestic violence. And we really wanted to tell this story because, you know, you look at professional athletes and you think that they're superheroes and that they can handle anything, but they have problems just like you and I do. You know, they suffer mental health, they have addiction, and we really wanted to tell the story in hopes that it could just help people and show them that they're not alone. And, you know, it doesn't have to end like this. There are options out there for you. It didn't have to be as drastic as Brian's case was.
Yeah, Brian was not at the level of the guy I'm going to refer to, but it reminds me. You talk about people having problems seeming to have it all. He was considered like the next great pitcher for the Orioles. He was going to be the guy. And then we all know what happened. He loses everything. And I always wondered, I don't know how, you know, which, when you guys discussed the article, I grew up a Mets fan. Dwight Gooden was one of the best pitchers I've ever seen. At 20 years old, he was dominant. Mm-hmm. When the Mets won the 86 series, he missed the victory parade. He was in a crack house in Queens. And have you ever, like, when you researched this, did anyone talk about or find, like, why this happens to guys? Or how can they fall so far from having it all to doing things that are outrageous?
I mean, I think, unfortunately, that's just what addiction does to you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get the help that you need, you know, in Brian's case, he did go to rehab, but as far as we know, that was pretty far removed from his death. It wasn't recent. And I just think, unfortunately, like, addiction can hurt anybody, you know, even these big stars who seem like everything is perfect.
Hey, Danielle, as far as, like, you know, this is always hard to talk about and when you lose somebody. But the one thing that we were kind of alluding to before you came on that at least I'll remember about him are all those great moments of him coming in when a lefty specialist was a thing. That's exactly what he was.
It was. And we did do an entire story separately, too, shortly after his death, on all of his great accomplishments. And he was great in the community. He worked very closely with Casey Cares. So, you know, on the surface, you know, he was a great teammate, a great friend. You know, Zach Britton, who was one of his closest friends, even told me, you know, months before his death, you know, he was, you know, Brian was still being a great friend and texting him. And, you know, it didn't seem like anything was going on below the surface from his point of view.
Yeah, it's I thought Danielle Allen Tuck joining us from the Baltimore Banner. Danielle, I thought including Ben McDonald in this article was brilliant. You talked about his career ending with shoulder injuries at the age of 29. and picking fights, not wanting to be a parent, picking fights with his wife. We don't see the mental health side of athletes a lot because many of us retire in our 50s and 60s and sometimes after that. But these athletes are retiring, if they're lucky, in their 30s.
And these are guys who, you know, their entire life goal was to be a Major League Baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hit it and their career ends and they're like, what am I supposed to do now? And in the case of somebody like Ben McDonald or Brian Mattis too, they didn't get to choose when their career ended. They had no control over it. It just ended one day and suddenly they had to move on to their lives. And, you know, in Ben McDonald's case, he was 29. He had a whole life to fill and he had no idea what to do. And I just think that, you know, these athletes, when they're playing, and current athletes have spoken out about this too, Charlie Morton talked about this, when they're playing, they're not thinking about their future because they have this one chance to play. So they just have no idea what to do when it ends. And in Ben McDonald's case, you know, he was really, really lucky that he had a supportive wife who put him in therapy. You know, Ben McDonald did admit to having a drinking problem. He was lashing out at his family and his wife gave him an ultimatum, like, go get help or you're not part of this family anymore. And he did that. And, you know, now Ben McDonald's great. He's a broadcaster. He has a loving family still. And that's just really, really proud example of what getting help and figuring out what your purpose is after your career ends and how that can benefit you.
Was there anything that you learned about him in diving into this that you didn't know ahead of time?
About Ben or Brian?
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian.
I mean, I think a lot of it was new.
Because you haven't been on the beat that long, right? This is how much did you didn't get to cover him really, right? So this is kind of relatively new stuff.
Yeah, I didn't cover him, but I grew up in the area. So yeah. I knew of him. Watched. I think that I had the same perception that maybe a lot of you guys did, where like I saw him on TV, I saw him, you know, doing these talent events, and that was kind of all I knew about him, which is kind of his stats and his face. So we did learn a lot about his personality. He was a huge golfer. He could golf with both hands, which is incredible. I can't even golf with one side. And just, you know, love the Cardinals, love the Nuggets. The big piece about it, though, is that he just never found what he wanted to do once his playing career ended. He just couldn't figure out what else he was passionate about.
Yes, she is. Danielle Allentech, check out the article yourself, the story yourself, please, at the Baltimore Banner. Also, Danielle, tell folks how they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at @D_Allentech.
Thanks a lot, Danielle. See you at the ballpark.
Thank you.
All right.